We're continuing our series as we work through the Gospel of Luke, and we began that at Christmas time, telling the birth story of Jesus, and we're getting towards the end of the story as we approach Easter. And so today we hear one of the last episodes, as we're kind of jumping through a little bit, before next week when we remember the story of Palm Sunday and retell it. And so today we have one of the radical stories about Jesus in Luke's version of the gospel that was most likely written for a Greek speaker. So they were people who were not Jewish by tradition, but that came to Jesus from other religions. And today's scripture tells a story of a short little man in a tall tree. Zacchaeus was his name. And a wee little man was he. You might know that song. The interesting thing to know is that Luke is the only one to tell this story. Was he the only one that knew it? Or maybe he was the only one that didn't reject short people? Who knows? But only Luke tells this story. And so with the history of the church, we believe that Luke had a reason to include this crazy story about a short little guy that climbed a tree and then invited Jesus to his house for a party. And so as Chuck comes forward to read the scriptures for us, let us listen with our ears, and may the Spirit of God open those ears that we might hear an eternal spiritual word.
Today's scripture, as Monty said, comes from the the book of Luke, 1831 through 1910, on page 1017 in the Pew Bible. And you know, these scriptures, lots of times, you know, seem very familiar to us. However, you know, there are two things that happen when you encounter scripture. There's the scripture, which doesn't change, and then there's the listener, who does change. And of course, we are the listener, or the reader. So you may think when you got up this morning that you were the same person that went to bed, but actually that's not exactly true. You are actually a different person than went to bed. And so in a sense, when we listen to the scripture, there's a different person hearing the scripture, not the same person that heard it the last time. So let's listen to what Luke has to say. And the first part is about Jesus predicting his death for a third time. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him, and they will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Now, the next passage is about a beggar receiving his sight, a blind beggar receiving his sight. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside, begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. And finally, the story about Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Please bless to our understanding the reading of his word. Amen.
I was gone last week, if you were here at church, and I have been gone for about the last 2 weeks, 1 week with a group of pastors with whom I meet 1 week a year to get together. And sometimes people think that all we do is pray and talk about the Bible. We actually drink a ton of beer and eat a lot of good food and stay up too late trying to solve all the problems of the world, which we don't, and then we say, "Next year, we'll do it again next year." And then last Sunday, I went back to New Jersey, and we've been praying each week for one of our dearest friends, Charles Dixon, who is a pastor just outside of Princeton and is undergoing chemotherapy for uterine cancer at the age of 47, very rare. And so because I had the week off for study leave, I went and preached for her and then stayed for the week to help her out. Christy's already been there and is going back again. Different people from California. The people in the church said, "Wow, you Californians, you go a long way to help your friends." And it was a pleasure to be with them. I was overcome preaching with them by realizing some of the challenge that we face today as people following Jesus in our world. Their church is much more divided politically. They are currently squabbling and fighting within their church, or some people are upset, because they recently had 15 people in veils that are Muslims come to their worship service to worship with them. And because they postponed communion to be sensitive to those Muslim believers, there is some concern within their church that they're not being faithful to what Jesus teaches. Now, I would say they're probably being more faithful to what Jesus teaches by welcoming those visitors with whom they work. But I'm not a member of their church, and I was warned not to bring that up in the sermon, so I'm bringing it up in this one. Hopefully they won't listen to the recording. I'm going to cover it. But it was a reminder that we live in hard times. Now, that's kind of stupid. I don't need to remind you of that, right? Life is always hard. It can be challenging, as Chuck reminded us, as we are people that are always changing, and even though the word does not change. But we live in a time that seems extra hard. To know what to stand for, when to stand, what to speak out for, when to be quiet. It's part of that commitment that we just made to Kaya to teach her and encourage her and empower her parents to teach her so that she can be a person that acts prophetically, that loves in a Jesus way, that is committed to other people in a God way. And so I was there a week and then came home on Thursday night, just in time to have to do all this stuff and try to do everything that I can to make up for the 2 weeks that I was gone because I've not been working, so I got to do everything really fast before Sunday. And on the plane, I was trying to finish one of the 9 books I brought with me for my 4 days in Princeton. I noticed a repeating pattern here. And so I was finishing the book and still trying to watch the junky Marvel movies that were on the plane. And I was listening to the two people next to me who were talking all about how technology saves the world. And it was a man and then a woman and then me. And the man kept talking about all the great things he had done to create internet TV and how that was going to change the world for good. I then turned up the sound on my podcast and the radio in my earphones. But eventually I took a break and they were watching me as I was reading this book and I was circling a lot of things and writing a lot of things. It was a book I disagreed with, and so I'm a talker, so I usually talk back to books with a big pen. And at one point they both looked at me and they were like, "What are you reading?" And so we started talking. And I told them I was reading a book called The Benedict Option, which has been talked a lot about. It is a book that's talking about how to be Christian in a post-Christian world. And the author basically says we need to retreat from the world and just be within Christians and raise our children to be Christians because the world has gone down the toilet. Now, if you know me, you can know why that book is covered in red ink. So I started talking, and so the guy said, "Why are you reading that? Why are you writing in that so much?" And then he kept saying, "It's so great you're not reading a Kindle book. That's so thoughtful. Why are you reading a real book?" I said, "Well, I like to loan them to people. You can't do that with technology things." And then they asked me about the book, so I told them. And they said, "Well, why would you read a book like that?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." "Holy!" What he said. He'd already had 3 gin and tonics. He had 5. I'm just jealous because I didn't have any cash. But then he said, "Can I shake your hand? I've never met a pastor." So he shook my hand across this lady's lap. And then he said, "Holy sh! A pastor. I can't believe there even are pastors. What do you do?" So I tried to tell him what I do. And he said, "I thought all you did was like tell people what to value. Like tell them what to be against and for. Isn't that what church is about?" Now, what I told him was that what I am supposed to do and what my job is about is storytelling. Telling a story over and over and over, because it's a story that's our story. And I believe it's the best way to see the world through that story. Can you guess what he said after I said that? "Holy!" He shook my hand 5 times and said, "Holy. S-H-I-T, at least 10 times. I've never had an encounter like that before. I can honestly say no one has ever said holy when I said what I do. But I was reminded about that. And then I put my earphones back in. So obviously I'm a very holy roller because I took the whole flight to convert him. But I was struck by that conversation. We do live in a world that is post-Christian. I don't think he really had any idea what it is that I do or exactly what that means or had ever been to church. And so it is kind of funny. That is probably the response we're going to get going forward. "What'd you do on Sunday?" "Well, I went to church." "What? Holy! Why didn't you go to the farmer's market? Why didn't you go to Starbucks?" "Well, because." So the question is going to be for you, what will you say? What is your response to that question? Why do you go? What is that about? Why do you read the Bible? Why would you bring your baby daughter to church and put water on her head? Why not just give her a bath at home? Isn't it cheaper? And it's all about a story. When we read that part of the story today that Chuck read for us, we see that Jesus tells his friends again, the 3rd time in the gospel, "I am going to die. I'm going to die for what I've been saying and doing, and I'm going to be killed by the religious authorities because I threaten the establishment, and they are going to whip, and they are going to beat me, and they are going to crucify me, but I will rise from the dead." And you know how they respond? They don't say, "Holy!" They say, "Huh?" And then they go on. The next story, in the way the story is told today, is about a blind beggar who Jesus is going through the town of Jericho, where Joshua delivered the land into the hands of the Israelites back in that day. It was the first land, first city in the promised land. And it's only the blind beggar that's on the street that everyone says, "Be quiet, get out of the way, you stink, you're loud, get out of here." It's only him that sees Jesus, that knows who Jesus is, only the blind begging man and all the crowd. Then Luke tells us the next story about this short little guy. So let's see if you know the story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a getting a little quieter. I was counting on you guys to know it. I forget the last part too. But you know the story, right? Even if you don't know all the words like me, you know the story. Zacchaeus is this little guy. He climbs a tree. We have this great painting I found online. And he climbs a tree because he wants to see over everybody to see Jesus. It's like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but Zacchaeus has shown up like 1 minute before it starts and he can't find a spot, can't push his way through the crowd. But then again, maybe he didn't just show up. Odds are, when we learn more about him, he's probably been there for a long time, but no one will let him in. No one wants to be next to him. He's worse than the blind beggar. The blind beggar stinks and is loud, but Zacchaeus, he's an SOB. He's a tax collector. He works for the Romans, those jerks that have taken over our country, that tell us what to do, that tell us that we need to be like them, that they are the future, that they are the power. Those SOBs that remind us every single day that we're under their thumb and that they're making our country great, that they know the way to be, that their God is the true God. Zacchaeus, he works for them. And that loser, he collects our tax money that we don't want to pay, and he collects more than we have to pay because that's how he makes his money. He extorts us, that dirty collaborator. We should kill him. And even worse, he is a chief tax collector. He's a manager of other tax collectors. He's like the biggest of the worst of the nastiest of the most loserish collaborators that there are. I'm not letting that jerk stand next to me. I'm not letting that jerk stand behind me. You better get out of my tree. And so that's why Zacchaeus goes up in the tree. But Zacchaeus has heard the stories of Jesus. He knows that Jesus is different, and so he comes. I would suspect he doesn't usually venture out into big crowds because he probably would be killed if people weren't too afraid of killing a collaborator. So he climbs a tree and Jesus stops, and lo and behold, Jesus stops not for the faithful people in the front of the crowd waiting to see him enter Jericho. He stops and he calls out for the little jerky guy who's so short and such a jerk that he has to climb the tree to see Jesus. And he says, I'm going to your house. The one house he shouldn't go to. I'm going to your house. And he goes, and in that encounter, Zacchaeus changes. As Chuck reminded us that we all change. Zacchaeus has a major change that day. A huge repentance. A U-turn in his life. And he says he will give back everything that he has extorted. Not just give it back, but give it back multiple times. He will make amends for the wrongs and the bad that he has done. He wants to change his life. I think that happens because he was lost and found. It's what we sing in Amazing Grace. It's what the text says. But even more so, he is found because he realizes that the story he has believed about life is wrong. That it is not the main story. He has believed that you need to collaborate, that you need to do what you need to do in order to get ahead, that no one would accept him, and so he should collaborate with the Romans, that because he worked with the Romans, everyone hated him, so he should just write them off. But in encountering Jesus, he hears a new story. And we know that, I know that, as I read the text, because if you look at the very end, Jesus says, this man is, did anybody catch it? A child or a son of Abraham. Now, that might not mean a lot to us, but maybe you know another little song that I would always learn about the wee little man. And it goes like this. Father Abraham. All right. Seven sons had Father Abraham. Okay, it goes on forever. We won't sing that because I want to talk. But the whole point is that if you were a person of the people of God, if the story of God was your story, if you were faithful, you were a child of Abraham. And so everybody in that town does not believe that this child of Abraham genetically is actually a child of Abraham spiritually. It's only Jesus that can see the truth. It's only Jesus that says to him, you've got the story wrong about the world. You've got the wrong story about your life. This is the story. You are a son of Abraham, the man who with his wife was told to leave everything. Go to the land that I will show you and everything will change. And he did it. So did Sarah. That is the story of the people of Abraham, the people of God on the move, stepping out, looking for God, even when God is not visible, trusting in God, even when it's hard, showing up, even when it's unclear if God has shown up. It's the story that we invoked as we baptized Kaya. It's a story that we retell every Sunday because we need it. Because like Zacchaeus, we are often lost, whether we know it or not. We can often believe the wrong story about our life. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. We can believe stories that say, you are not as good as you think. You are only as good as what you make. You are defined by what you buy. You are defined by what you do. You are limited by who you come from. You are worthy based on what you believe. And to that, Jesus has a different story. God loved you before you were made. God claimed you before you were conscious. Jesus died for you before you could fathom it. And Jesus is inviting you to resurrection before you can begin to hunger for it. Now that's the way we need to see life, isn't it? It's enough for me to think about that guy on the plane who said, holy, when I told him what I did. And I personally think that I should probably wake up every morning and say, holy shit, I am more than I do. I am worth more than I can buy. I am not defined by who I come from or what I do or where I'm going. I am defined because Jesus loves me. And that story ain't over. And it ain't over until Jesus finishes it. How are you lost? How is Jesus finding you? What's your story? Amen.